This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, everybody. Sorry, we are back. Sorry about that. We had a bit of a technical issue. We were about to come on the air, and then all of a sudden, we weren't able to go on the air. But now I'm here, Sal Capaccio, with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in today. Glad to be with you here on this Tuesday. Got a good show lined up for you today, and that includes, in an hour from now, going to hear from former Buffalo Bills safety, Micah Hyde. Micah's going to bring his charity softball game to Buffalo, once again, to downtown Buffalo, at Salem Field, downtown, home of the Buffalo Bisons. And I know that they're close to a sellout. There's still some tickets left, but we're going to talk about that. But, of course, his time in Buffalo and his career in the NFL. He has officially retired, and we'll talk about that. So, Micah Hyde joining me at 10 o'clock. I'm sorry, at 11 o'clock. At 10:30 today, got a interesting guest, Ben Ostro of Football Zebras. If you follow Football Zebras online, it's a great site for rules and analysts and analysis and things like that. And not only is it a great site for that, but it's also a good time for us to kind of digest what's going to be happening about a week from now. Next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, essentially, in West Palm Beach, the NFL owners meetings are going on. And that is when the NFL will... Competition committee will vote on rules proposals, or at least the owners, I should say, will vote on the competition committee rules proposals, what some of the teams put forward. All that's happening next week. When last week we learned that there were all these different proposals, like the Lions saying, hey, the defensive holding and illegal contact should no longer be an automatic first down, things like that. In fact, the Lions also proposed having a wild card team with a better record than a division winner seated higher. When all that went down, and we saw all of that last week, there was nothing about the dynamic kickoff. You know, so like what I mean is we had heard a lot of rumblings about how the kickoff, which last year went from the 25 to the 30-yard line for touchbacks in order to increase kickoff returns. And it did work, by the way. They did increase kickoff returns. We heard that the NFL is going to look at that again and go from the 30 to 35-yard line. So not, but we didn't see anything with the rules proposals when they came out. However, according to Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports, he reported a couple days ago, it is actually going to be on the docket, at least for a discussion from the competition committee as far as examining the kickoff and if they should move it to the 35. So what this tells me is this is going to happen. And I tell you, there's some breadcrumbs here. I told you when I went to the combine, I was shocked when I didn't see it on the rules proposals, because when I went to the combine last month, this was a big talk. I was told by several people this is very much in play, that this could very well happen, moving the touchback from the 30 to the 35-yard line. Then I didn't see it out there. And the rules proposals, I was stunned. Not only that, but even since the combine till now, teams are signing kickoff return specialists, which we didn't really see in the NFL for a while, but now we're seeing it, including the Bills. The Bills signed Laviska Shenault. Laviska Shenault's going to be a kickoff return specialist. That's really what he's going to be. And Brandon Bean basically said that. When he was signed, I said, I think this is about the kickoff return, even though we haven't seen anything official on it. I think that's why they signed him. And I know a lot of people thought, well, maybe it's because of James Cook and his situation, so Ty Johnson has to be playing running back, and then you want to fill in for Ty. I think he's going way down the rabbit hole. This, to me, the Laviska Shenault signing, just like Devin Duvernay wound up signing. Where'd he go? Maybe San Francisco? So he went somewhere. I think it might have been San Francisco. I have to look at that. But he was also signed recently. Teams are signing kickoff return specialists. I think teams know this is happening, including the Bills. So I think that we're going to see a move from the 30 to 35-yard line when it comes to the dynamic, as they say, kickoff return and the touchback. And Jonathan Jones actually has a really good article on it, and I want to touch on that. Ben Ostro is going to join me at 10:30 a.m. All right. Josh, I know you had to step out for a second. Are you there with me? Are you there? I want to tell you something. I got to tell you something great here because we've been... Okay. Are you right here? Are you there? All right. Okay, here we go. We did it. You ready? We did it. I'm going to say we did it. We did nothing except bring the information to the masses. As of 10:09 a.m., which is right now, there are 1,000 names in the transfer portal. Exactly 1,000.
Wow. We did it.
We did it.
There it is.
We really didn't do anything except bring the information. So I went and looked. Last year, through the entire like college basketball, through the entire like portal season, if you want to call it, 2,080 names. We are now at 1,000. The portal officially just opened yesterday. Now, there were names in there before it, so I don't know how it officially opened yesterday and there were names in it. But as of, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. I just tweeted this out. As of 10:09 a.m. Sorry. I didn't even put the time. As of 10:09 a.m. today, the Division I basketball transfer portal hit 1,000 players. Last year, there were a total of 2,080 players. There you go. This is all, by the way, data from Verbal Commits is where I get this. 803-0550. Here's what I'd like to do today. I'm thinking about the rules. Thinking about NFL rules changes. What's going to happen next week? I'll be at the owners' meetings in West Palm. I'll bring you the information while we're there. Thinking about rules changes. What rule would you like to see changed in the NFL? It could be something that maybe they changed once you'd like to go back to. Maybe it's something that you would like to see go forward. Something that could be proposed. Something that is proposed. Whatever it is. I tweeted this out at Sal Sports. Okay. Bill. Good job, Bill. I like this. A lot of people have this one and have said this. He said, I would say a fumble through the end zone does not lead to a turnover. The team keeps the ball at the 20-yard line. Is that a good rule? There have been proposals about this, but the league has never changed it. And I understand when anybody says it's way too punitive if you fumble it through the end zone. So right now, the way it works is if you're running with the football and you're at the 5, the 4, the 3, the 2, the 1-yard line, whatever it is, and you fumble the ball into the end zone and then it goes out of bounds through the end zone, like the back or the side, whatever, that you lose the ball. The other team gets it. It counts like a punt touchback. That's exact. It's not a kickoff touchback, a punt touchback because it goes to the 20-yard line. Yeah, I can see that. Matt says, make judgment calls reviewable by the eye in the sky. 10 seconds max to review it. I am not for this, Matt, and I'll tell you why. Everything is a judgment call. A holding is a judgment call. He says, why are there limits on referee challenges? If a ref gets 3 calls wrong or 4 or more. I understand that. I think the reason why, Matt, and I'm with you, like you shouldn't be penalized. And last year they changed this. If you win your challenge, you get one. You still keep, like I think you can do 2 now and still get them back. It's changed the rules over the years. But the reason why you can't just have, you know, unmitigated, basically, reviews on judgment calls is because every play there'd be judgment call, a holding. Well, why wasn't that holding? Well, you called holding. Can we review that? I think that's why they do that. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. At Sal Sports also if you want to tweet at me. What one rule would you like to see changed in the NFL? We have the rules proposals next week at the NFL owners meetings, also called the official name is the annual league meetings. Also, Josh, you know how we've been talking about the local connections to college basketball over the last couple weeks, you know, in March Madness and all
that.
Yeah, right?
I saw there was another connection out there now, right?
Yeah, there is. Congratulations to Brian Hodgson. Now, Brian Hodgson is a Jamestown native, Olean native. He's from Jamestown, Olean. I think he went to Jamestown High School. I have to make sure on that. But he's from that area, and he became an assistant coach at UB under Nate Oates. After that, after Nate left for Alabama, he went with him to Alabama. Then he became the Arkansas State head coach. They had a fantastic year in just 2 years. They did some great things over at Arkansas State. He has now been named Brian Hodgson, local guy from down in Jamestown. He is now the new head coach at the University of South Florida, the Bulls. How about that? And what's really interesting is yesterday, Josh, there was a lot of buzz about he was going to become the new UNLV coach. And it was like, oh, Brian Hodgson's going to go to UNLV. Then suddenly out of nowhere, bam, it's USF. So obviously his agent was gauging both, however that went down. But we have another local connection to big-time college basketball. Brian Hodgson has been hired by the University of South Florida, USF, to be their new men's head basketball coach. So check it out. You can follow Brian on Twitter, by the way, at Coach B. Hodgson. He's already changed his profile. Just named last night head men's basketball coach at the University of South Florida. Hashtag horns up. All right, so good for Brian Hodgson right there. Michael, let's see. Nope, this is not. How about this? Irkiel says, I would like to see defensive pass interference not be a spot foul. I'd like to see it a 15-yard penalty and automatic first down. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. It's the college rule, right? We've seen this before for a lot of, you know, a lot of people have suggested this. We've seen this before, and college does it. If you throw the ball downfield, there's a pass interference. It's a 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down. It's not a spot foul way down the field. Gord, they should stop trying to make kickoffs relevant. I think he said a relevant. I think he means relevant. Much like moving the extra point back. Has that really made the extra point more interesting? Yes. Yes, I think it has. I absolutely think it's made the extra point more interesting. That's a good question. Yes. What do you think, Josh? Moving the extra point back to where they've moved it, do you think it's made the extra point more interesting?
I think so, yeah, because I feel like you've seen like an increased number of extra points missed, but I also wonder, you know, would those still have happened even if you had it in the same spot that you did before? Because a lot of those, it was, you know, wide left or wide right. Like I feel like, and when they were wide left or wide right, they were very wide left or wide right. So it's not like, you know, if you would have been closer, they would have like squeaked in or anything like that. So
is this where we have to have a geometry lesson and say that, yeah, that's because they're farther away. So by the time it gets there, it's going to be wider.
Right. That is true. That might be skewing my mindset there. But my yes. my point more so is I think that I do wonder if it has changed as much as we think it has, because maybe it's more so the mental aspect of these kickers now. Like, oh, I got to hit it a little bit harder, so that might accidentally push it wide right or wide left. So there is probably a mental aspect that plays into it rather than, you know, like the physical aspect of the game itself. But I think it's okay. I don't know if you really need to change it much more, though, because I don't really know what else you can do to it that would make it more difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I want to see if I have the data on... There's clearly more extra points missed, right? There's clearly more, but I want to see the data on it. And I can go back and look at that. You know, I could take a look. I wasn't prepared for it, but I definitely would like to do it now that you've mentioned it, because I'm thinking, okay, what is the actual data on, you know, extra points that have been missed? And I guarantee you there's been more, you know, over the last, since they made that rule change. Yes, I think it is more interesting. Like, when you score a touchdown in a close game, I mean, if it's a close, if you got to kick the extra point, look at the Houston-Kansas City game last year in the playoffs. And that was a big deal when he missed an extra point, right? We've had him here. Tyler Bass struggled, missed a couple extra points. I don't think they've necessarily cost the Bills games. I have to go back and think, but with teams, it has happened to teams when you play close games. I think moving the extra point back has actually made extra points, A, more interesting, and B, gotten the intended effect of what they... Yeah, well, that's it. The intended effect is more interesting. You want to stick around and watch it. BG, I like this one. I never have really understood why teams have to make players on their active roster inactive for game day. I'll explain why they do that. Doesn't mean that you have to like it, but I'll give you the explanation. Because the NFL's thought is, if you the larger the roster on game day, the more it separates the haves and have-nots, the less parity there is. Because the theory is from the NFL... There's financial implications too, but mainly the theory is from the NFL that the bottom end guys on really good teams are going to be way better than the bottom end guys on bad teams. So if everybody dresses, it's just more, you know, of a gap, less parity, and they want close games as much as possible. They don't want to do that, but that's a lot of the reasoning why, whether you want to, you know, like that or not, that's what it is. So the kickoff stuff has always been really interesting. Oh, Kerry, I like this. 1 foot inbounds on a catch. More exciting plays and easier to officiate. I have always thought this should be maybe something in the NFL, Kerry. And the reason is, I agree. The NFL has always been about exciting catches, exciting plays, right? I mean, 1 foot inbounds. The issue I have with it is we have changed so much, and they have, to benefit the offense. Why continue benefiting the offense? The defense needs something. Defense needs something. All right, so here's what Jonathan Jones wrote at CBSSports.com this week about the NFL possibly moving the kickoff touchback from the 30 to the 35-yard line. He writes, after a 2023 season 2 years ago where there was a historically low return rate of kickoffs, the league wanted to resuscitate the play. So they obviously went to, okay, let's move it to the 30. That's a little more, you know, penal. If teams kick it into the end zone, there's a touchback. You're going to have to deal with a team starting at the 30, so you might not want to do that. Well, the average field position last season was the 29.6-yard line when including touchbacks. If you remove it, it was the 28.8. Doesn't sound like much. There's a 1 yard difference, right? The league had only 21.5% of kicks land in the landing zone. Placing the ball at the 35-yard line should cause coaches to think twice about booting the ball too deep. The league's internal data, according to this article, shows a 65 to 75% return rate if the touchback is moved to the 35, more than double last season. So essentially, what they're saying is, and hypothesizing based on what happened last year, that if you move the kickoff, if move the touchback this year from the 30 to the 35, you're going to have even twice as many kickoff returns as you did last year. And I guess the answer to the question is that worth it for you as a fan? Obviously, you're not the ones voting, But for you as a fan, I've heard a lot of people say it's just stupid. Why do they keep doing this? Do you want to see that? Or would you rather just say, no, no, no. Who cares? Keep it at the 30. I don't care to see a kickoff return. And just let it be a play that kind of doesn't matter. It did matter a little more last year. I believe in the playoffs last year, though, the kickoff return rate was a bit down. Now, one alternative to be considered here is moving the kicker back 5 yards. However, as he writes, sources believe kickers these days are so good they could still reach the end zone with enough regularity backed up, you know, if they wanted to do that anyway. So maybe they could do both. It's really interesting. So we'll see. We'll see what the league decides to do, but that is one of the rules proposals on the docket. I do think it's really interesting what the Detroit Lions proposed in a couple of different aspects, okay? First of all, the penalty of defensive holding and illegal contact not being a free first down and only being a 5-yard penalty. There are unintended consequences, right? The unintended consequences are guy is getting beat 10 yards down the field. He knows he's going to get beat for a touchdown. He just grabs somebody by the jersey. Would have been an easy touchdown. So now you're saying, well, that's only a 5-yard penalty. And if it's not a first down, it's not a first down. If you're the offensive team, you're going to be mad about that. But I do think it's way too penal right now, as it stands, and it always has been, to give a automatic first down on a regular holding or, you know, illegal contact. If it's third down and 10 and it happens 5 yards downfield, it's an automatic first down. Now, I know why. As I just said, you're possibly taking away a really easy catch for a first down. You know what we saw a lot of last year? Defensive line holding calls. Way more than normal, I should say. Like, how many times last year in a game you'd be watching and go, wait a minute, holding on the defensive line? They focused on that last year. In this scenario, right now, that's an automatic first down. That's a defensive lineman holding an offensive lineman. That's an automatic first down. This rule would change that as well. And then, of course, you have the bylaws and the resolutions, and one of those is the Detroit Lions also proposing that the wild card team, if they have a better record than a division champion, would actually be the higher seed when it came to the playoffs. Most of you I've heard from, at Sal Sports on social, if you want to do it that way, that's where I've heard a lot of people from, say they don't like this rule because what's the incentive and what's the reward then from winning your division? My counter to that is the reward is you still make the playoffs, even if you're in a really bad division and you go 9-8. You still make the playoffs. That's the reward. You would still make the playoffs regardless of how bad your division is. In this day and age, you could get an 8-9 division winner. We had one at exactly 500 a few years ago. Let's see if this would happen last year, by the way. Let's see. 14-3 Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, the 14-3 Minnesota Vikings were a wild card. Two different division winners only had 10 wins. The Washington Commanders, how about this? This is really interesting. I didn't even realize this. Last year, the 5, 6, and 7 seeds in the NFC all had better records than the 3 and 4 seeds. All of them. The Green Bay Packers had 11 wins. They were the final wildcard team. They had a better record than two division winners. That is why the Lions are making this proposal, because they were almost in the same situation as the Vikings. Came down to that last game. Vikings lost. They go to 14-3 and have to be the 5 seed and go on the road. And then, of course, they lost. Lots of stuff to discuss here. We'll get with Ben Ostro. He is at Football Zebras. He is the founder of it and does a great job at that website. Lots of good information there, and we're going to talk with him about some of these rules proposals coming next week at the NFL owners' meetings. Ben Ostro up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Micah High joins me at 11 a.m. Thanks for being with me on a Tuesday.